On the show today, we have Web Strategy's very own Chris Leone. He is here talking about why credit unions need to use Google Analytics if you're not already. And then he takes a look at the latest version of Google Analytics 4, which is going to be hitting our shelves or hitting your computer on July 2023 this year, just in a few months, and why you need to start looking at this because you're not going to be able to use the old version anymore. They're cutting it off. And it's going to be GA4 from here on out. So yeah, great stuff here from Chris Leone. And I hope you guys check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, guess who is back? Mr. Chris Leone from Web Strategies. How are you, sir? Good to see you again.
I'm doing great. Good to see you again, Mike.
Well, thanks. Well, likewise. The feelings likewise. And the last time, if you all may reoccur or remember, we talked about that infamous ChatGPT AI thing that's sweeping the globe. And you just informed me, Chris, that they just released ChatGPT-4, I guess. I didn't know there was a 2 or a 3, but now there's 4. It shows you how far behind I am with this news. So things are changing very, very fast these days, it sounds like.
Very quickly. I think they're going to announce it about an hour. They're going to do a live broadcast. But the one that everybody got to play with was like ChatGPT 3.5 and maybe 3 if you were in really early on it. Okay. So now we're going to get 4, and apparently it's even more powerful, and it can do music and it can do images and all this crazy stuff. So we look forward to playing with it and seeing how credit unions can utilize it.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, and so now hopefully this one won't turn into what was that, HAL in Space Odyssey 2001 or whatever that took over the space.
That's ChatGPT 5. So
that's 5. That's okay.
Yeah, relax. This is only 4.
It's just 4. We're good. All right. Maybe we can stop at 4. How about that? So anyway, hey, let's talk about something else semi-related. It's a cousin of what's going on in the AI world, but that's Google Analytics and why credit unions should be checking out Google Analytics, if not using it. And then you're also going to talk about the latest version of Google Analytics, GA4. So why should a credit union use Google Analytics in the first place? What's the advantages? What's the benefits there for a credit union venturing down this lane?
Yeah, so let's start there and then we'll talk about the new version and why you need it and why you have to make the change. So why use Google Analytics in general? So if you don't know what it is, it's measuring your website traffic. It can measure app traffic, how people are coming into your site, what they're doing, what they're looking at. And you can't improve what you can't measure, right? So you need a way to measure traffic and sources and actions on your website. Yep. And this is a free tool. So, and it does it really, really well.
Yeah,
and it really can do pretty much anything that a credit union would need to do and need to measure in terms of how people use their web assets. And you can even track movement through an LOS. So if you want to see if people are filling out loan applications and, you know, coming from your website from an ad campaign and then over into the LOS and what steps they're getting through, you can even track all that stuff. So, again, you can't improve what you can't measure. So you have to have visibility to that so that you can work to improve those outcomes.
Exactly. And that's the name of the game for any of this type of stuff. You know, you've got to be able to measure something before you can improve it. So yeah, well said. So what are the most important things to know about Google Analytics or the new Google Analytics, like you alluded to in your previous response? Pardon me, I'm not up on the vernacular. So is it GA4 or Google Analytics 4 or...
Both work. GA4 is just easier on the tongue. So we'll go with GA4.
Another acronym to remember. All right, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. So first of all, there are a few things you really have to know. The first is that the current version of Google Analytics, which if you're not using GA4, but you're using what's called Universal Analytics, and that's been around for many years, that will stop working on July 1st of 2023.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, so if you're not on the new version, you got to get in on it.
Okay.
Or you got to get in on another tool because what you've been using is just going to stop working July 1st. Done. Okay.
That's a rude awakening. Okay.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, credit unions have become really dependent on these tools to see how they're doing. And the idea that one's just going to say, we're done, is kind of scary. But there is this new alternative, GA4, and they've built it really for the future. So let's talk about some important things to know about that tool. One, it is a better way of tracking.
Okay.
So all the events, all the interactions that people take on your website, are now going to be tracked, and that data is going to be processed in a way that allows you to do more with it. Now, I don't want to get too under the hood here because it gets pretty technical pretty quickly, but it's important to know that from a technical perspective, it is much better. It's much more scalable. Oh, and these are changes that are really long overdue, and they were able to do it because they built this thing from the ground up. So it is a better way of track things. The second thing you need to know is that the interface is not good. And it will feel like an inferior product because of that interface, but don't let it fool you. It's actually really customizable, which is nice, but it has a long way to go. It probably or may feel half-baked to you, and you're not wrong to feel that way. So you really have to get over that hump. We really recommend using a separate tool for data visualization, which we could talk about in a little bit,
okay.
So that you can really see things in a way that makes sense to you, and you don't have to kind of fight your way through this somewhat incomplete feeling interface. One other thing that's really important to know as it relates to the switch to GA4 is that all of your old data, the data that you've been collecting for years and years and years, and you can go all the way back to when you first put Google Analytics on your website, that data is not going to come over to the new version of Google Analytics, and it's not going to be there forever. In fact, Google has only committed that they're going to give you access to that data through the end of 2023.
Oh.
So at some point, that's it. It's gone. You won't be able to view it anymore. So if that data is important to you, you have to make plans to put it somewhere else. And there are ways to do that.
Okay.
But don't assume that you're just going to set up the new one and you're going to be able to look back to 2011 and look at trends over time. That's going away.
Okay, because that's really important in many industries, including the financial services industry, to spot trends, you know, in your history. So, okay, yeah. I'm glad you clarified that there's a way to archive that type of stuff and still be able to analyze it. So, yeah, okay, good. All right. Got that out of the way. So what's different about the new version compared to the old version? And you kind of a little bit in your last response.
Yeah. So we started to hit on some of that, but let's talk about some of the good things, and then there are a couple other things that aren't so good. So we already talked about the interface being different. That's really just the aesthetics. But from a customization standpoint, there's not as much that you need to do right out of the box. So previously, if we wanted to track people scrolling down a web page or watching a video or downloading something from the website, we had to do all that stuff manually with separate tools like Google Tag Manager and things like that. Yeah. But out of the box, it captures a lot of those engagements. That's pretty cool. That makes it a lot easier for you to see what people are doing on your website. We like that. That's a good thing. There's a brand new metric called engagement rate. And what this metric tells us is the percentage of traffic that engaged with your site in some of the ways that I just rattled off.
Yeah.
So it's engagements like defined as looking at multiple web pages, watching the videos, downloading things, stuff like that. And this, I think, is a really better way to measure quality of traffic and quality of traffic coming in from sources and quality of landing pages. Because previously we had a metric called bounce rate. Now, the new version of Google Analytics does have bounce rate, but the original bounce rate really was somewhat flawed because it really didn't take a lot of certain things into account. Like, for example, on CU Broadcast, if someone lands on a page and you're watching this video right from CU Broadcast and then you leave the site, in the old version of Google Analytics, that visitor would have counted as a bounce because they did not look at another page. But I mean, they did what you wanted them to do. They viewed the video. They had a brand interaction, a positive one, right? But that counted as a bounce. So you can kind of see how the old bounce rate was really kind of a flawed metric. Okay. So now we're thinking about engagement rate. And a lot of the engagement metrics are being tracked out of the box, so you don't have to do as much work. And I think it's just a better way to think about, you know, the quality of traffic and quality of landing pages, things like that. So that's a good thing. Another thing that's pretty nice is you can customize the interface a little bit more. So you can kind of move reports around and change how certain things are visualized.
Mm-hmm.
We still recommend going a different route for data visualization if you're using this on a more regular basis, but you can tweak things a lot more than you could in the original one, right?
Sure.
Now, something that's not good here compared to the old one is that the time windows where you're analyzing data are going to be much, much more limited. So for example, you can't look back more than 14 months at a time. So no longer can you pull up a report and look at like 3 or 4 years and look at a big, nice, long trend line, which I always love to do as an analyst.
I love that.
I like to zoom out and look at the big picture.
Yeah.
Can't do that. If you're trying to analyze demographic data, you know, age and gender and things like that, you can only look at 2 months at a time, right? So that's obviously a bit more limiting.
Why is it? Is it too much data to handle or something like that? Or why
too much data? Well, we start to get into like it's how it's defining a user and like it doesn't. Well, first of all, data handling is definitely a big part of this move.
Yeah, yeah.
Google spent a ton of money processing all the data right. before, and it's right. going to limit that. It's also maybe somewhat redefining how it considers a user on the website, and it doesn't want to preserve that data for too long. There's all these like little nuances to All right. data methodology and tracking and privacy and things like that, but they are putting more limits on all this stuff. Now, there are ways around it if you use a separate tool for displaying your data, okay. but if you're going straight through the interface, you're going to be limited in the time windows that you can look at. And in some cases, you're going to be limited quite a bit in looking at trends over time.
Okay. Now, you keep mentioning the third-party tools or the separate tools. So let's go over that. What would that look like and how would they be used to display this data here? Because this sounds intriguing because like you and me, we like to look at the bigger picture and see trends over time and see where you need to improve and where things are going A-OK, that type of stuff. So
yeah,
share with me the separate tools that can really benefit
So our favorite tool here is another Google product. It's a free product and it's called Looker Studio, mm-hmm. formerly known as Google Data Studio. Okay. And what this product allows you to do is pull in data from multiple sources, Google Analytics, Google Ads, Bing Ads, Facebook, your own separate databases, and push that all into a fully customizable report. And you can make it look however you want. You can cool. set whatever date ranges you want, all this cool stuff. So let me just show you a couple sure. Examples here. And this is the kind of stuff that, like, for example, we might build for our clients. So we build reports both for marketing teams and for C-suites. So you want to take all these things into account, right? And this is an example of like an overview page. Overview report of the website. So we have acquisition channels, how is traffic coming into the website, and you can see what that distribution looks like. Most of it's coming from organic search, new versus returning visitors. You can graph this out however you want. And one of the things one of our team members had the idea to do, which I think is really cool, is there's this explainer box on the side oh. that says, here's what this metric means. So really? Don't misinterpret it. This is what it means. Really helpful if you're presenting this stuff up to C-suite, who's not in on every one of these conversations and is not getting educated on what it all means. Here's an example of a conversion report. And again, this is all data from Google Analytics, right? But we're presenting the things that are important to us. We're visualizing it in ways that the client cares about, or that the credit union cares about. We can see the breakdown of channels and devices and look at that stuff over time. We can have an advertising report. And right, you know, here we're doing a 12-month look back, and we can look at how much we spent and what the cost per conversion was. And all these date ranges you can change up here on the fly. You can like different products. So we could look at conversions by, you know, loan type, vehicle loans, credit card applications, things like that. It's just stuff that we know is important to the credit union. This is the stuff that the marketing team wants to see. And it really limits the amount of clicking that they have to do. They don't have to go through a bunch of different reports and kind of bend and twist it to, you know, make it look like what they want. You spend yeah. a lot of time clicking those buttons just to see what you want to see. So if you kind of pick out the things that are most important to your team and you get them on here and you say, we always want to look at a 12-month date range whenever we see this, and we want to make sure anybody who's viewing it understands what everything means, you could put text boxes on here. Really, really powerful tool, and it's free. So, you know, if you have someone on your staff who likes, you know, playing around with these, or, you know, talk with your agency or your partners or whatever and say, this is the data that's important to us, let's visualize it here. If you have other data warehouses, other places that you want to pull from, you can connect that into this report as well. And you can even do like customized formulas. So you can take, you know, this metric from this place, this metric from another, create a formula around it. And that becomes like your internal KPI for that thing. Okay. So very, very powerful. free tool to use.
Awesome.
And we think it's worth the time.
And this is going to work well with GA4, right? So,
yep.
So you have a complementary kind of solution there to track things the way you want it to track, either micro or macro, all that type of stuff. So yeah.
Good. Yeah, we really recommend, I mean, it's getting to the point where just you don't want to live in the interface anymore of the tool. You really want to just use it as a data collection tool and then use a separate one for the visualizations.
Yeah, and I think credit unions are going to like the fact, and anybody else for that matter, that it's free too. So it's free to use for sure.
Can't be free.
So the other question, I should have asked you this at the very beginning, but are credit unions using Google Analytics, or is there something else that they're using? So why is this important for credit unions? Obviously, Google and Google Analytics have a reputation for being pretty darn thorough, as you already explained. But why aren't credit unions using Google Analytics?
So we do. So when we take on clients, we see that they're almost always using Google Analytics, which is good.
Yeah.
But what is very often the case is that they've not taken, or whoever was managing it, is not taking the next step to customize it to their needs.
Okay.
So, you know, defining what a conversion is on your website, you know, making sure all the data sources are coming in and getting tracked properly. And then the big one, which is something we, you know, our team invests a lot of time into, is tracking through the LOSs. Right. To make sure that, you know, because one of the fatal flaws that we've seen in trying to increase the performance of marketing is to not really have truly defined what success is and then look at all these investments against those outcomes.
Right.
Right. So if the goal is to generate car loans, if the goal is to generate deposits or new members, whatever the case may be, you need something that objectively says that this thing happened or this thing didn't happen.
Right.
Didn't happen. And for credit unions, oftentimes these are happening on third-party tools, on subdomains, on, you know, loanapplication.creditunionname.com instead of right on the main one. Well, it takes extra legwork. It takes extra configuration to track all those things. They are not being done natively, right? So again, generally we see that they've got it so they can track some basic things, but they're not customizing it to their needs, and thus they're not able to use the tool to its fullest potential, and they're not able to get the insights that they really need to make truly informed decisions.
For example, you brought up the LOS process, the LOS system. I mean, is it possible to see, like, kind of, I don't know why somebody dropped out in the process, or at what point they dropped out, or at what point did they pick back up again and start moving again, that type of thing? So I would think those would be vitally important.
Very, very important, right? So one of the things that I've always been preaching about this is that you need to think of the LOS is almost like an e-commerce shopping cart.
And
if you've ever worked at an e-commerce company before, they obsess over the shopping cart because so many sales get lost within the shopping cart process. You've successfully generated traffic to the site. You've convinced them to put an item in their cart and to buy it. And then you lose them on the shipping page. And they're like, oh, so what can we do to improve the shipping page? And they obsess over this stuff. They do user testing. They do heat maps, all kinds of things to try and make it as frictionless as possible. And so my argument here, and I've been saying this for years when I go out and speak at conferences, is that you need to think of the LOS and that loan application process as the shopping cart. You need to look at each individual stage. You need to have it visualized maybe even as a funnel. This is what e-commerce companies generally do, is they look at it as a funnel and they look at the drop-off points and they see where the biggest drop-offs are happening. And then you go back and you can hypothesize why that's happening. Honestly, the cheapest and most effective way I've ever seen to do this is simply put somebody who's never gone through the process before, sit them behind a computer, have them execute the task and narrate what they're experiencing. Yeah. And you almost always identify some friction that you can go back and address. It's just a very, very effective and efficient way to find those opportunities. You can then go a step further too, where if you've collected email as like the first step, and this is something that we'll sometimes do too and recommend, is that you get email capture on the first step. So you have that, you drop it into like a CRM like HubSpot, and then you can see if they dropped out, and then you can send, again, very much like e-commerce, like, hey, we're sorry to see you go, tell us why, or can you come back and finish it? It gives some incentive to come back. You've probably experienced that before. You put an item in the cart, you start shopping out, you're checking out, and then you leave, and then you start getting emails for that product, right? So you can do creative things like that to try and bring people back into the fold. So user testing is really, really effective. You need to make sure you're capturing the data at each stage. Try and get that email early so then you can have abandoned an abandoned email list. Mm-hmm. maybe even by product, and then you can do marketing against that list.
Yeah, love that stuff. All right, let's get back to GA4 and what credit unions need to do to be prepared for the switch, because you said it's happening in July 2023 in just a few months. I mean, July is going to be here before you know it. So what do they need to do to prepare for the switch?
All right. So first of all, again, you have no choice. You have to go on GA4 or find another tool, because the old one's going to stop processing data on July 1st of 2023. If you're tracking across your LOS, you're going to have to redo that tracking. The tracking is not going to carry over in the new version, so you have to go through that process again. If you want, you know, again, we recommend having a separate tool to visualize the data in a more useful way. So we recommend Looker Studio. Another tool I failed to mention here, but is a very important piece of this potentially, is a tool called BigQuery. And what BigQuery basically stands in between Google Analytics and Looker Studio. So you have Google Analytics sending data up to BigQuery and then down into Looker Studio. Another free tool, and it's got a native integration, but it's going to allow you to extend those look-back windows, right? Because you're not going to be sourcing the data directly from Google Analytics. You're going to be sourcing it from BigQuery. So it's going to be in BigQuery. You're going to pull off of that, and then you'll be able to do those more extended look back windows. So whoever's watching this, you know, go to the person who manages this for you and say GA4, BigQuery, or in Looker Studio, because if you have all those things working, you know, you're going to be in business.
Okay.
The final thing I recommend is, like, just get in there and get acquainted with it. It's a brand new tool. There is a learning curve, I should say. So get in there, start using it. Don't use the old one as a crutch. I'm very guilty of this. I spent an hour troubleshooting something this morning in UA because I cut my teeth in the digital world on the original Google Analytics. I'm going to miss it very, very deeply. But force yourself to get in there and start using it. It's really going to be the only way.
Well, yeah, and circling all the way back to ChatGPT, I mean, people are noodling around with it, they're playing with it, they're getting used to it. So this is the same thing. Get in there, play with it, get used to it, and, you know, hopefully the user interface improves at some point. And and then you'll be good to go once July rolls around and you can hit the ground running, so to speak, right?
That's right. So happy analyzing. Get in there, use it. We don't have a choice, and we know we need that data to make more informed decisions. So it's the right thing to do.
I love how these tech companies hold our feet to the fire in these instances. And you're like, all right, you got no choice. We're moving on.
Yeah, this one isn't quite as exciting as the potential of artificial intelligence and ChatGPT and making our lives easier. But I think this is a better way of looking at data and analyzing data. And you know, it might be cool if we get a ChatGPT layer onto Google Analytics, and then you know, to heck with data visualizations, we could just ask it questions and it'll mine the data for us.
It'll talk to us all about it for a half hour for sure. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Good stuff here, Chris. Anything else to add to wrap up? Because I know we're going to be talking again about ChatGPT 4, probably 5, 6, and on down the line until.
I'll bring in my robot stand in at that point.
Please do.
I think we got all the important points here. You know, start using it, look at those separate visualization tools, track through the LOS, BigQuery, Looker Studio, GA4, and don't wait too long on this, because all that I keep saying UA means Universal Analytics, that's going away. Right. So, you know, you're going to have to do something to maintain that data if you want, and that's probably going to cost you something, but you know, you can either go the big way with that, or you can just take out some KPIs by month and preserve it that way. But do something to preserve it, because you're going to want to reference that later on.
For sure. And it's like that sixth grade science fair project. The sooner you get going, the better off it's going to be. Because if you wait till the night before, it ain't going to be pretty.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
All right, Chris, well, I'm going to let you get back at it. Thanks again for this valuable information. Look forward to getting this one posted and look forward to many other very interesting conversations down the line. And probably a few of them are going to be happening this year. So yeah, looking forward to it, sir. Well done.
All right. Thanks so much.